Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Believers are commanded to love God supremely and cast off every weight and sin that besets them. Then they can run life's race at top speed, knowing that the goal line will bring them face to face with the God they love. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Dr. Lutzer concludes a series on the joy of generosity and a message on Christ, the Lord of our affections. Lessons taken from the words of Jesus in Matthew 22:37. This final teaching begins with a pointed question.
Now let me ask you, what is idolatry? Idolatry is when I pursue something other than God with more strength and more energy and more determination than I pursue the knowledge of Almighty God. That's idolatry. Because I have set up some other standard, some other desire that is greater than my desire to know the living God. Let me ask you, what is your plan to know God better? How many biographies do you plan to read this year of men and women who have walked with God who give us insight into what they've learned? How many verses do you plan to memorize? What is your plan in terms of reading the Bible? What are you doing so that this great gap that is within us, this great desire for God, is being fueled and is being fanned and is being nurtured and strengthened until you say that you are consumed with the desire to know the Almighty and nothing else really matters? Other things matter, but they don't really matter. That's why I found it so difficult to prepare this message. Because as I look at the text, I see that what Jesus is saying is that our love for God should be all-consuming. All-consuming. What would be true if we loved God with all of our heart and mind and soul? First of all, obviously, we would love what God loves, wouldn't we? He loves the people of the world. We would love people. He loves His Word. He says that He has magnified His Word, He says, even above His name. And we love His Word. We would love righteousness. We would love God's ways. And we would love God because, may I say it, God loves Himself. He does. He would not expect us to love Him if He did not love Himself. He has a right to. Because He is the source of all beauty, of all goodness, of all wonder, of all majesty. And therefore He invites us to come and to share in that love. And on our part, our worship. So we would love God and we would love what God loves. It dawned on me that we would also hate whatever God hates. I took a concordance yesterday and looked up all the passages of Scripture to indicate what God hates, and the list is far too long for me to even begin to give it to you. For example, it says in Psalm 97:10 that God hates evil. It says also in Proverbs that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. God talks about hating even the doers of iniquity. Now it says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, regarding Christ, because thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity, therefore God, even thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. God says, because Jesus loved what I loved and hates what I hate, He's going to be glad and He's going to be blessed. But I look into my own heart, and oftentimes I see myself loving what God hates and hating what God loves. That's why the transformation of heart and mind that must be made within us is a work of the Holy Spirit of God. Thirdly, if we really loved God, we would love our neighbor as ourselves. And that's what Jesus said the second commandment is, and it flows so naturally out of the first. The second is this: you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. You know, there's a verse in 1 John that says these words. It's as if any man says, I love God. And I suppose if I asked today for a show of hands, how many of you love God? I hope that most of you would raise your hands. But it says, if any of you say, I love God, and you hate your brother, it says you are a liar, and the truth is not in you. Because if you don't love your brother whom you've seen, how are you going to love God whom you haven't seen? And some of you here today are struggling with your love for God. And the reason that you're struggling is because you do not love your brothers and your sisters. You retain that root of bitterness that's always getting in the way of your love for Almighty God. Let me give you a couple of statements to think about as we talk about the bottom line here. How do we go about learning to love God as we should? First of all, we must honor Christ. Because the Bible says that he that honors me honors the Father. If you dishonor me, you dishonor the Father. There may be some of you here today who need to believe on Jesus as your Savior. You need to come with yourself just as you are, with your sins, with your questions, and you need to come and believe on him, because that is the first step to loving God, is to appreciate what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross and to receive his gift of eternal life. But having done that, then we begin to love. We love him, the Bible says, because he first loved us. I think of the little girl Martha, 4 years old, one little doll in one arm and another doll in the other arm, holding them tightly and saying, Mommy, Mommy, I love them and I love them and I love them, but they never love me back. Is that the way we are? God loves us and he loves us and he loves us, and so often we never love him back. I know there are those of you who say, oh, but I don't know that he loves me because he has dealt severely with me. Recently, I've been studying the life of Joseph, and I wonder if you remember the story of how Joseph bound Simeon, one of his brothers, before the other brothers in their presence. And they didn't know that Joseph was their brother. I'm assuming here that you know the story. But it's interesting that it says, Joseph turned aside and went to into a room to cry. And then he wept, and then after he dried his tears, he came out, and he bound Simeon before their eyes and spoke harshly with them. I wonder if that's the way God sometimes does with us. Sometimes we see the harshness of God. He takes people from us. There are accidents. There are circumstances that make it appear as if God is harsh. But I wonder if we could see the other side to God, the grief, the pain, the tears of Christ. God does love you, and we should love him back. Secondly, we must be willing to ask God to take all of those idols that are in our lives and demolish them. I think it would be helpful if all of us took 15, 20 minutes of our lives, maybe an hour, and just said, God, what is it that is standing between you and me? Why is it that I do not love you? And you'd find all kinds of things in your life, as I find frequently in my own, all kinds of false, competing loves, where I am not loving the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul at all. I'm loving all kinds of other things and ignoring God. The dearest idols I have known, whate'er those idols be, may they be torn from the throne that I might worship only thee. Are you willing today to give up your idols? What is it that stands in relationship to you? What sin do you need to get rid of? I spoke about making a decisive choice. When it comes to sin, it is best to put it away quickly and finally. Somewhere I read that if you're going to jump across a chasm, it is much better to do it in one long jump than in two short ones. And when we put sin away, when we put those idols away, let's do it decisively and with conviction. Are we allowing God to do that in our lives? To submit to Him, to give Him all the idols, and then to receive in simple faith the filling of the Holy Spirit so that we might not be double-minded, but single-minded, and say with the Apostle Paul, "This one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind, reaching forth to the things which are before, I press toward the mark to know God and to love Him supremely." There was an artist by the name of Augustus Lowe who had painted a picture of Jesus Christ. And an admirer came into the studio and noticed that the picture of Jesus was very well done. And they were admiring the features of our Lord. And this admirer said to the painter, "You must love Christ." "Yes," he said, "I do. But you know, if I loved Him more, I could paint Him better. If I loved Him more, I could paint Him better." I hope that in your heart today, you are resounding with me in saying, "Oh, that we loved Him more, that we might represent Him better." Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thine heart. Where is your heart today? With all of your soul. Where is your soul today? With all of your mind. Where is your mind today? And with all of your strength. What is it that you are pursuing? Anything less is idolatry. And when we love Him more, we can paint Him better. Well, my friend, I'm so glad that you have joined us for this series of messages. And at the end of this broadcast, you'll be told how you can have them so that you can listen to them again and again and share them with friends. It is so important to understand that God wants to be Lord of our finances, Lord of our affections, Lord of our time and of our talents. And all of these issues are discussed in the messages that you've just been listening to. But as I conclude the series today, I want to encourage you to pursue God. Ultimately, your relationship with Him is what really matters. Here's what I'm learning in my own walk with God, that there is nothing that can rival His blessed presence. You remember Moses? God said, "Moses, I'm not going to go with you into the land, but rather I'll send an angel." Moses said, "Lord, if you don't go with me, then do not lead us up from here." So God says, "Yes, I will go with you." And then Moses said, "Don't you realize that it is because of your presence that we are distinguished from all the people that are on the earth?" Well, it's time for me to sign off, but I need to remind you that that which distinguishes us as Christians is the presence of Almighty God.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Today, Dr. Erwin Lutzer completed his series on the joy of generosity, a look at how we use our time, talents, resources, and affections. Running to Win is all about helping you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. This entire series can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For all the details, call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.